Blog Talk Radio.
Young, thank you, boys, for that song. Mm-hmm. That is just, you know, that song will always, even as a non-parent, it always could bring tears to my mm-hmm. eyes. Welcome, people. Welcome to She's Raising the Bar.
Woohoo! Woohoo!
On Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday.
Every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. If you're not doing anything, come join us. There's always plenty of room, plenty of space for you.
Bring a cup of coffee.
Bring a cup of
coffee.
You don't have to bring... You
not
don't
that
have,
early.
It's nice if you bring a little something, you bring a little cake or something, but you don't have to. We're just suggesting.
Come over. We'll
come
have
on
some
over.
Cake.
Come on over. This is a good place to spend your lunch hour.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, because there's just always some hot topics, you know, that we're serving up.
Hot ladies with the hot
topics. Ah, see, I'm glad you said that. I didn't want to say that. But the ladies behind the mic, being you so cleverly segued to that, to my left
is...
And always close to my heart, riding shotgun for the past
me,
7 years.
Me.
The
I'm
lovely
Elise
Ziegelman. Yeah, okay. Where's the little bit of a pause?
No need for a pause.
Oh, okay, go ahead, your turn.
But to my right is... The lovely, the loyal, the three L's, Lori Towers.
That's only two L's.
Lovely,
loyal,
Lori.
Okay,
Lori.
I like that. Thank you, darling.
Yeah,
thank you. I thank you for that one.
You're very welcome.
And it's interesting, this week we have been, most of our posts are always about, you know, just reinforcing the younger generation of women, little girls, and being supportive, and you
Ooh,
know,
a lot
try,
more than that.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, our posts are usually leaning
towards our show
that a little bit more. But this week, we just thought, you know what? Let's turn this around a little bit and ask the question: if we want men to respect women, how do we do that unless we get little boys to respect little girls? And that's really what this show is about. It's about everybody seeing the need to, you know, both parents. And I know it's always a harder thing to swallow to have a man say, my little boy wants to play with a doll, or my little boy wants to sew or crochet,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, even something like, I don't want to be involved in sports, I'd rather you play violin. There are a lot of men that don't embrace that well.
And those are the men usually that don't respect the women.
And, you know, I always want to say that when there's a level of disrespect, there's a level of ignorance that you can go around. You can go around. And ignorance is just choosing to remain uninformed.
Right.
That's what ignorance
exactly.
is. You can change it. Not everybody needs to say the same. So that's really what this is about. And I was really happy... you actually gave me this post to put on our wall, and I was very happy with the remarks that we got. We had one lady, and actually she's one of our friends from Embracing the Gray, that group. We've had people on our show from that. And she went on to say, the post that we put up was, why would I let my... What are you afraid of if you're allowing your little boy to play with dolls? Are you mm-hmm. afraid of him being a good father, a good parent, blah, 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 blah? And this lady said that when her little boy was small, he's now, I think, 22, 23, she said, he loved babies. He just loved being around babies,
mm-hmm.
looking at them, touching them, wanting to hold them. And she, you know, went by her gut, and she got him a doll, and she let him play with the doll the way his sister's played with dolls, and now he's, I'm sure, a very put-together young man who loves children love him, and he can't wait to be a father. And I mean, I think that's,
you know,
it's
in the retrospect,
thing.
This whole thing, it's mm-hmm. just a human having play with another human. You know what I'm saying?
It's
that's what you need, interplay with another human throughout your life.
And it's exactly,
throughout your life.
Exactly. And it's just honing nurturing skills.
Right,
which
exactly.
Everybody
has. Should have.
Yeah, everybody has. I mean, but we just.
Some have more.
And I think the flip side of that is we always. And my mother did it to me too. We always race to put the doll in the little girl's hands. And I think that, you know, again, it's just what we were taught by the generation
right.
before us. So it's there's never any ill will or harm intended, but this is just
what they were taught.
Right. And how wonderful it is when little boy loves babies and loves to be.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's another human being.
And you know what?
It's an embracing and a human being.
I was thinking if her son is now 22, 23, that still was taking
the old
a
time.
Chance.
Yeah, the old,
that still
the
was.
Old school.
I mean, she's probably just like maybe a little bit younger than us, if that at all. And
well, not really, because my daughter's 23.
Well, I'm just saying, it's possible.
You know,
I don't think
Steve would have bothered him, you know, upset about that if he wanted to play with dolls.
But see, he's of a different mindset. And
yeah,
he's being a teacher, you're a little bit more open-minded than a lot of people.
I think a lot of fathers his age would be okay. It's the generation before that.
I hope you're right.
Yeah.
So I mean, we're thinking about okay, what do we have now that can make this more of a seamless process as far as
education?
Yeah, and keeping the children informed by way of something that they.
Well, it all starts in the house.
And, you know, I looked up this article that was in the Chicago Tribune,
mm-hmm.
and this lady who wrote the story had twin boys, and she said she wanted to, the boys were like five, she wanted to talk about something that kids could relate to, superheroes, and how now there are more. Think about this. When we were growing up, what was a female superhero? Batgirl, maybe, who made the sneak appearance.
Wonder Woman,
but other than that, was it? There was really Supergirl was kind
of. Well,
there's
really
like,
not a lot now either.
No, but
it's just added to the boy group.
But no, but think about the movie releases that are happening now. They have
the
Black Widow, She-Hulk. They have so many
right.
other things that if you're with a little boy in the summertime, and you want to take him to a movie that might support your cause, and
mm-hmm.
you want to introduce him to things that make him see that he and his sister are on the same level. There are more movies available,
yes.
which I think is great. So that makes it easier right there.
Right.
Because...
Yeah, there's a lot more female, you know, like the star of the movie right now.
Yeah. Because
it used to be she just was always in the background. Now she's up front.
Yeah. And that's... And again, kids just... It's got to be digestible. It's got to be a language that they know. You know, and it's always in form of a cartoon or something that's entertaining when you're that
mm-hmm.
small. And then as you grow up, you could, you know, start having the dialogue. I mean, when I was growing up and I was raised by a single parent. Now, in those days, the emphasis was more on Larry, my brother, to have...
Maybe because he needs it.
Well, no, but the thing is... The absence of a father in the house in those days.
That's
and
what
my
I'm saying.
He
needed
days.
It.
But you forget that there is a powerful impact on a little girl's life when there isn't a father around.
Yes.
So it's like
yes.
my mother did, and may her soul rest, she did what she thought was best, and the squeaky wheel would be, okay, there's no male model in the house.
Role model.
So she went through Big Brothers and so on and so forth and made sure that there was always somebody that you know, in addition to my uncles that were there, that would model for my brother. But now, and her thinking was, well, you know, you have a mother, so you don't need, but little girls need a male model as well.
Right.
Because that's
yeah,
that's
their daddy.
Right. So that's the thing. It's always this. You don't realize that the lack of a parent has an impact on not just the obvious gender,
mm-hmm.
but the one
the opposite. That,
yeah. So this is how.
And actually, you know, in studies too, they said, you know, the fathers and daughters, their relationships usually you end up, you know, when you do have a father,
mm-hmm.
marrying somebody that was like your father,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, or the total opposite.
Or the total opposite.
It's really
depending
just,
how, you know, your father was and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's really, and that's why it just, the job, the undertaking of being a parent is just so enormous because you always think about, oh, did I do this right?
There's no manual.
And that's the whole thing.
There's no manual.
Like you do the best
you can.
You're
thrown into it and you do it.
And I always say, I probably would have made different mistakes than my mother,
mm-hmm.
but I would have made the same
right.
amount.
But
certainly.
You know what? All in all, I think that kids that are raised with morals and respect
mm-hmm. absolutely.
Were raised the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Because those two components are the most important in my, you know, in my eyes. They're
yeah.
very important. Respect is so important. And morals, even more.
And
if you have both.
Oh, of course.
And
of course.
Any parent did a good job.
But you know what? It's still, I think there's got to be times, and you probably, I could have done this, I could have done that. Because you always think that parents have the angst.
Oh, yeah, that's
of,
the backside of it.
Oh, I should have done this, I should have done that, I didn't do this, I didn't
right.
do that. You know what? I mean, there are parents that are just well-meaning, and some, you just can't be every place. You just can't do everything.
And you're
right.
always going to make mistakes.
You're always going to make mistakes, and your kids are going to make mistakes. Even
mm-hmm.
the stuff that you didn't teach them, the values
right.
that
they're going to do it on their own.
That's fine, as long as they come back around too.
That's fine.
Yeah, did you like that 2-octave jump that I did? Okay, here's another thing that she said that I think is it just makes perfect sense. It just model good behavior. Children learn mostly by seeing their parents and seeing things. Okay, so respect can be construed through behavior or lack thereof. Spouses sharing chores.
Sure.
In other words, in our generation, it was the man came home, sat on the couch, and the women did the cooking
clean,
and everything
clean,
else, and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And the gender-specific chores of the boys have to take out the garbage
right.
and the girls have to wash the dishes. And that's really what I think, and this lady goes into splitting it up. In other words, one day her daughter will do the garbage, one day her son will do the
right.
garbage. And just like you
well,
see.
It's only right.
And you. But the thing is, I mean, I remember growing up, I hated dusting.
Mm-hmm.
I hated dusting. And my mother always made me dust. I'm trying to think what Larry did. Oh, you know something? I can't remember what he did. He was a doorstop for most of his life. But no, I mean,
no.
I'm just trying to think of what he did. And I know. That's what I got. We had to do, and we got allowances for doing things, but
right.
dusting was my thing.
I hate dusting. It's the worst thing in the world.
You know what? I hated it because we didn't have a feather duster. We had to, well, and this is the right way to do it. Lemon pledge.
Well, that's the only way to really get all the dust.
Everything off.
Mm-hmm.
You put it down. You don't dust around. You
that's what I do, and I dust everything that was on it.
Off.
And well, now they have the pledge wipes, which are even better. I'm telling you, they're even better. You don't have to spray. It's the wipe. It has the pledge on it, and you just clean. It's
but
just delightful.
I actually
hate it.
Like the smell. And
oh,
you
I love
foam,
it. Yeah.
And then you just
oh,
go.
Yeah, I remember that.
I didn't mind doing it. Look, it was a Saturday afternoon. I didn't mind doing it. It took me all of a half an hour, and then I could do what I want. And this is another nice point. Make it clear that emotions are okay. Now, Rosie Greer, who is still with us, remember big old Rosie Greer?
Sure.
300-pound Rosie Greer
mm-hmm.
was on Wonderama, and he still has, he's acting an ordained minister. He had several books out for children. And this song that was on the, I think it was like in the top 10, It's All Right to Cry. Remember It's All Right to Cry? It might make
How
you
does
feel
it go?
Better. It's All Right to Cry. Remember, you don't remember him singing it?
No.
He would just sit there with an acoustic guitar, teardrop. It was more for the little boys. To tell them it's all right to cry, it might make you feel better. And this is what this lady goes into, that we should teach our little boys that it's okay. We have, you know, thousands of emotions that are going to go in and out of our bodies and our minds throughout our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to have the full range and act on them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're angry, I mean, you don't want to, you know, hit somebody because you're angry.
No, no,
but
no,
you
no,
could
no.
say I'm angry, you could yell, you could
mm-hmm.
scream. And you know, and that's the thing. When I think this is just, you know, armchairing it. This is what goes wrong with a lot of men that are underdeveloped is they try to find their place and their self-esteem in being loud and being aggressive,
to be
and
seen.
Being powerful,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and being dominating.
Yeah.
So I think that
controlling.
That's the thing, and it's just
because they can't control anything else but that.
And build up boys to feel empowered. Now, again, boys just feel empowered by almost by default because they always felt that they were the superior sex. But are we really nurturing them properly to feel empowered? That we have to raise them to like themselves, regardless of they're not the fastest, they might not be the smartest, and especially they're not the strongest.
You know, you're saying everything, and if you think about it, you could do it for any gender that way.
Right.
Because you have to teach females that, too.
Absolutely.
You're not saying anything gender-specific. You just tell them that to be a good person.
Right. But
there was
see,
no genders in there, because
see,
it falls to both sides.
But see, in the sense, and I remember saying this to one of my friends who's having problems with her kids, you have access to your kids when they're small. You have a lot of time with
mm-hmm.
them. But once they get older and once they go out of the house, you have access to them maybe 2 hours talk time a day, if even that.
If
that.
I doubt it.
So they go out with their running buddies, and they're getting all kinds of misinformation, and they're posturing, and
mm-hmm.
they're doing all of the things that they think they have to do to have a rite of passage. The boys, you know, their conquest is how many girls they laid. And the girls are, you know, prettiest, thinnest, blah, 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 blah.
It's also hormones in the boys.
Absolutely, absolutely. But the thing is, that's going to happen naturally anyway. But mm-hmm. the thing is, but think about how, in both cases, it can derail. It's true. See, the audience.
Wow.
The audience was like, they couldn't take it. They couldn't take it. They just would just, okay, everybody sit down. Have a drink if you need to. But I have more fat than my value. But that's really it. Little boys, and this is what I've always said, and I said it yesterday about the man in the White House. There is something that he clearly, I'm going to go a little off topic a little bit with this. There is something that, we know what his relationship was with his father.
Right.
We don't know what his relationship was with his mother. There was something he clearly got too much of or too little of that made him who he is. And I look at the relationship between him and Nancy Pelosi, and although they're just 3 years apart, it's not like she's even 20
right.
years older than him.
Well, they look the same age.
Yeah, they're peers.
Right.
So it's not like she's an older woman.
No.
And he's giving her respect. There is something that woman does to him.
I
and
think
very tail this finger shaking fashion that hits a mama chord.
Yes, I think so too, and that's why he respects her, because I think he really loved his mother. But I think he hated his father so much that he wanted to be more powerful than his dad. And that's where his ego comes in. I think he's a softy on the inside to his mother, not to women. But he treats his women like his father did, and he hates his father. Because his father molded him to be who he is.
It's hard to say. There's, you know what, there's definitely.
But I'm telling you, he loved his mother. And I bet you she reminds him of his mother.
It's very hard to say. You know, because there's definitely a bundle of screwed up things.
Definitely. I'm telling you, his father was powerful, and he wanted to be more powerful than his father, and that's what he's doing.
Now, see, that's the whole thing. It's like too much of something, mm-hmm. too little of another. And here's another good one. And this, I think this especially in the light of the whole Me Too movement. Talk about boundaries and about other people placing their hands. Because by telling a child, especially
that's
a little boy,
respect,
to watch himself,
right.
to make sure nobody touches you, you're also teaching him
mm-hmm.
to do the same to somebody
else. Of course,
else.
Definitely.
Also, you know, make sure that when you're old enough that it is a respectful way, and it's something that is, you know, being accepted, you know. And that's the thing that most – back in our generation, most households just let the boys out, you know, like kind of bring in the dog, put out the cat kind of thing. It's like you worry about your daughters, you tailgate your daughters on dates, but the boys went out. The boys got thrown the car keys and they went out.
It depends on the ages of when they went out.
I'm just saying, most households, even if they were like within a couple of years of each other, the household usually came down harder on
the
girl
women.
Than,
yeah, of course.
But I think it's a very good thing that you bring up to your little boy about, you know, the appropriate touch and so
yeah.
on and so forth, because then they'll have a healthy attitude. I think when you have a healthy attitude about your body and about your purpose and place, it's easier to have respect for somebody else's, you know.
It sure is, definitely.
You know, and that's just the way. So that's why.
That's what I'm saying. I think that just comes from within. If you're taught respect, you respect others.
Right.
You know, and of course it has to come from yourself, from within. So if you respect yourself, you're going to respect everybody else.
But, and that's, like I said, it's just, I remember my godchildren, they had, like, you know, for upstate, a lot of people say, well, upstate has, like, you know, they probably don't have great programs in school. But they, when my goddaughter and my godson, who are maybe about 14 months apart, in school, they were each given babies to carry around. Your assignment, you were assigned a child for like 2 weeks.
So they really did that?
Yeah, they did. They really did. I mean, it was really cool. And I remember my goddaughter coming home one day with the baby's legs, see the baby upside down in a knapsack. She clearly didn't get it, but she was just getting tired of it. But the boys had to, were assigned
to do the same thing.
To carry.
Right.
And every time that, and it, you know, and it was a wonderful thing. In my godson's case, it didn't really hit home as far as, you know, early pregnancies, but it was to establish, okay, if, you know, you're really thinking about having, you know, early sex relations and you're thinking that protection doesn't matter, the outcome is, and how your life could change, and how every time, and I remember being in the house.
How was he with, excuse me for interrupting, but how was he with the baby?
Actually, he always.
You see, so he was ready. That's why he had a baby.
I still don't think. I mean, emotionally ready as far as being a good father? Absolutely.
He was a good father carrying that baby. But he's still thinking he's in high school.
Financially ready, that's,
right.
Yeah.
That's
but,
what I'm saying.
But the thing is, and I remember being there, and all of a sudden, when the thing was set that it would cry every hour
right.
But other things would trigger it. So it might just cry like 12 o'clock, and then all of a sudden 12:20, it's crying.
Right.
And it was like all of a sudden you hear it, and then, okay,
you have to attend to it, yeah.
That's yours, and just, and, oh, it was just, you laugh, but then you see the frustration, and if that doesn't sober kids up to say, you know what,
ready for this.
It could wait, or I could make sure that I'm responsible enough to make sure that that doesn't happen. But I really like that the post that we put up today. I want to read it out loud because I don't think I gave it
much credit.
Proper. It's props. Where is it? Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it's adorable because it has. If you go to our Facebook page, She's Raising the Bar, you'll see it's a little boy who's dressed up. He's kind of like has all his like hip clothes on. He's maybe about 7 years old, and it says, "You've let your little boy play with dolls. Aren't you worried it'll make him da 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 da?" And it says, "A good dad, a good brother, loving, empathetic, kind, happy, caring, enjoy his childhood, break stereotypes." You know, and I just thought that was just absolutely perfect. And then we had one that's raising a child who truly respects women. You see a little girl handing an equally adorable little boy a rose. And then
I love those little kid pictures.
They're really adorable. "Instead of teaching girls to cover up and be ashamed of themselves, how about we teach boys to be respectful and not see women as objects?"
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sirree. So I think that was a perfect
segue for our show to this week.
I think so. And then also we had, if he doesn't respect his mother, he sure as hell won't respect you. Now I'm going to say one thing.
What?
There are some mothers that are just, you know, again, you could give birth, but you could just still be a horrible mother, and your son may or may not respect you for other reasons and still be able to respect women. So I don't want to broad stroke that and just say just because
it just depends on the age, you know. If you're 3 or 4 or 5, up to 16, 17, it's a little different.
No,
you have to respect your mother, especially if she's taking care of you, you know.
But there are certain parents that you could say, yeah, I definitely respected her.
I totally respected my mother,
so,
but exactly.
Yeah, I didn't exactly.
I went through the same thing.
Yeah, so that's, And what I want to also wish you today,
yes,
and I wish you it before, Happy Galentine's Day.
Happy Galentine's Day to you.
Isn't
and I had
something?
No idea what that meant until
you know
Lori
what?
Told
and
me
I
today.
I was slow to the draw. I was going to put something on Facebook and
mm-hmm.
on Instagram today. I just didn't get to do it. And this was something. Being Valentine's Day is really, it's a Hallmark holiday. It's a man-made holiday. And it's a holiday that I think really just hurts
they made
a
up.
Lot of people. Because you feel, if I'm not coupled up, if I don't have anything to do tomorrow, you know, everybody else is celebrating, everybody's doing this, and I'm alone.
Right.
So what they did on Parks, do you ever see the show Parks and Recreation?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it, no.
Tina Fey,
mm-hmm.
and just wonderful. They came up with this Galentine's Day, February 13th.
Okay,
the
I'll go away, right.
The day before, and this is where you cherish and you applaud the female friendships that you have. You go out to dinner, you
great.
Go out, have a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're celebrating.
So why does it have to be the day before
Valentine's
Day?
Well, because it was
kind
of like protesting Valentine's Day.
So you do it on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, but they, for some reason, on the series, think about pop culture in the sense that so many things we got from Seinfeld. Seinfeld, we got
A Show of Nothing.
The Show of Nothing, the Soup Nazi. We had so many things that, what was it?
Yada, yada, yada.
We got all of that. So and this actually was an episode
Master
that
Master of My Domain.
Master of Your Domain. And then all these things, this type of show was like 25 years old.
Yeah, I know.
Still
imagine.
Going on. So they came up with this about 3 years ago, and every year it's resurfaced. And this year it seems to be a bigger year. So it's Galentine's Day. So go out with your gals.
That. I
mean, go out your gals, toast each other, and, you know, if you're not doing anything tomorrow, that's okay too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and I think that's like a...
It doesn't matter. It's such a played-out holiday, you know, and I think as you get older, I think you more laugh at it.
Well, you know, I think there are still, I remember one of my godchildren was always, you know, didn't have anybody on that holiday, and it was always, you know...
An issue?
And I would always say, you know, but it's about celebrating love in general.
Right.
It doesn't have,
it doesn't have to be,
boy,
you know...
Boy, girl, it doesn't mean that.
Right.
It could just mean, you know, celebrating, you know, the thought of love. But it's a hard holiday for a lot of people.
It sure is.
It's a hard holiday for
but
a lot
any
of people.
Holiday is.
Well,
if you have nobody that
you
love
you
around
nobody.
You.
But
you know
what, it's you know,
even people at Christmas, if they're single, they get sad because they have nobody to celebrate it with. But they have a full room of family.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, I think that there's more pressure on...
Those are the same people that
suffer
on Valentine's Day.
Oh, of course.
Day,
but the thing is, I think it's... Valentine's Day is about you should be out whining and dining and with your significant other. And you feel that it's more of an ego slight if you're not with somebody. You think less of yourself, and that's the problem. We create, we need to be a couple to be complete, and of course it's not true, and that's
not true at all.
That's, and I think that the saddest thing is to be in a couple and be alone. See, that's
the saddest part.
The veneer is like, okay, you're with somebody, you're having dinner, but you're alone.
Right.
Yeah, who needs that? But our friends, speaking of Galentine's Day, our friends, remember?
Oh, yes, that's
Sandra,
that's
who
true.
Came
yes.
on from Boostware, well,
mm-hmm.
They're having
another sale?
Until Valentine's Day. They're having, I think it's a 30% off if you go to their website, www.boostware.com. And that's, I mean, they have so many different, basically it's for full-figured gals who are thin. You know,
this is
full figure gals who are like size 2. So this is not the
wow.
Jane Russell type, and nothing wrong with Jane Russell.
No.
If a family's listening, they want to sue us. Nothing wrong. But this is when she came on a show. When was it?
A while ago.
I think it was last year.
Yeah.
So she came on, and and she was talking about they were having this event at, oh my God, I forgot that place. We would go to, something happened that night that we couldn't go. We couldn't get in there.
It was so long ago, I forgot.
It was about a month ago. Not a month ago, about a year ago. About a year ago. I remember it was warm. So it had to be like April of maybe last year.
And
so
I was thinking maybe it was last February.
You might be right. I gotta check it out. See when she was on. But yeah, they're doing something, and the deadline for tomorrow.
But you still didn't tell the audience what they sell, because you just said it was full figured.
It's mostly nightwear. Because it's day wear too. But there's a lot of emphasis on, I don't know, when you were growing up, did they ever say you should wear a bra to bed because it supports you better?
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is you can't sleep in a bra. It's not comfortable. These.
So what are these? These are bra shirts?
Negligee.
Negligee.
And just really, really wonderful stuff. And you could just, they always have these big events, and we'll start announcing more of them for the people that are in the city. I think they had one in Jersey, too, recently. But yeah, www.boostwear.com. And Google them if you can't find their website. And, again, deadline is February 14th.
Just tomorrow.
At midnight.
That's tomorrow, people.
So definitely you want to get in. And she was lovely. Now she came on the show. She was bubbly. She could not have been nicer. We got to have her back.
Very
on.
Natural.
We got to have.
So let's
on.
Do it.
I'm trying to think of what. How could we frame the show? What could we do? You see, look now. Look at this. Look, see. Look at
this.
People who can't see it. I just got on my thing.
Galentine's Days at Duke.
At Duke. Sex in the City trivia.
Wow.
Now, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
See, this is a big thing. Now, Duke's is, yeah, this is like not a restaurant that's really not that far from me. But the Galentine's Day, this is great. Half shot off Rose, half off Rosé, half off Hurricanes. Whoa.
Wow.
But see, that's kind of Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
Get it?
Mm-hmm.
That's
I got
pretty.
It. Hurricanes.
That's pretty. Yeah, so that's, yeah, go out. Ladies, go out. Go out and
enjoy.
Do a little something today. That's,
celebrate.
Celebrate the ladies in your life. But that's cool stuff. That's cool stuff. I want to mention, what else did I want to mention, Elite? I was looking for something that I want to mention, an event that I will be at in 2 weeks. Now I'm looking for my copy. Ramble on, Elite, while I look for it. Because I gotta put my head over here. You were going to say something before, and I cut you off.
Oh, you were talking about Park and Recreation.
Yes.
Do you know one of the guys that's on the show is Megan Mullally's
husband?
Yeah,
yeah, the guy with the DA.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, now he's bald.
Really?
He shaved all his hair off.
Wow. I bet he looks good.
Yeah, and he has a big beard. The beards I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He always had that.
He's really big.
He had that big, thick mustache.
And now
that,
he has
that
a big,
pompadour,
thick beard.
That big pompadour.
Right. And it's so funny because when I saw him, I said, he looks so familiar. But then he had no hair, and I said, that's why, because he had all that hair.
Now, do you know what commercial they do together?
No.
They're a hysterical couple together.
Yes, they're
they
very
do,
funny.
Slingers. Do you ever see the commercial for Slingers? It's like a smart TV. It's a programming thing, but they go, they're in a big party, and they go, you want to sling with us? She'll go, she was like, she's walking over to
like a swinger.
Right, exactly. And the other couples are just like looking like, I don't know. And she's like, me and my baby love to sling. And like, he's sitting there, and they have this, it's like a series, they're hysterical together.
It's a series?
It's a series of commercials that they have that, like six out.
How come I've never seen them?
Look it up later. It's really, very funny. It's really hysterical. But yeah, they've been married for probably close to 20
years. It's like a perfect couple.
Yeah. Well, because she's funny, he's funny,
yeah.
You know, and they're both on, you know, working. Well, she had a hiatus.
Yeah.
And then he was on Parks and Recreation.
You don't watch Will and Grace anymore, right? Last week there was, she left, what was her husband's name?
Stan.
She left, Stan left her.
Yeah, he was
so
dead, and then he came back to life.
Yeah. So, last episode they had like a whole part of her singing.
She's great.
She's
really
good.
God.
She did a lot of Broadway, right?
Hell yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was very good.
She's got, I mean, that's why she and Jack always had their numbers
together.
They're
so funny, right?
Yeah,
they're both theatrical.
Broadway, exactly, and they were just absolutely great together. But yeah, she's got a voice for days.
Yeah.
She's got a voice for days. But you know what's funny? He brought up Will and Grace the other night. I had on Cozy, and they had the first episode of
Will
and
Grace.
which I never saw. My mother was raving about this show, and just like, I think I was working later, I don't know why, but I never watched it. And it was like you're seeing how they introduce all the characters, where Karen came from. It's like
you see in the script,
it was like you had to describe, well, Karen is an alcoholic and blah, 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 and married rich and blah, blah, blah. And it was just really amazing to see that Jack actually spoke deeper in the beginning. And then obviously as his character developed, as you get into character, it was a little higher and he's talking like this, a little bit more flamboyant. But it was just amazing to watch their characters. Karen was the only one that was really, she nailed her character head on. She knew who she wanted, and it was pretty much always the same. Maybe a little funnier, but it never changed. So I always kick myself that I'm not watching that.
Oh, and they don't lose the tempo. I'm telling you, they are just still so funny, hysterical.
Yeah.
It's a great, like, chemistry between all of them.
And, you know, that's why when you have a show like that, you thank God because, number one, you love each other. You're going to work.
Yes.
You're enjoying each other. You will never make that amount of money for that many years. You know, this is what everybody prays for, and you have it, just like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
After a while, you realize, this is great. I'm making, I think, they were making, like, probably $5 million an episode at one point.
Imagine.
And after all, I just say this, you know, I want to leave on a high note.
Right. Well, you have to. You don't want to play it out.
And truthfully, I remember the last episode is just such a downer.
I hated the last episode.
Everybody
hated it.
It was just, you know, you were like, that's it?
Yeah, that's exactly what, I think that's what they wanted you to know.
Because you know what?
That was it.
I'm going to tell you something, and you'll agree with me on this. I'm not even going to have to tell you which one I think it was. There was only one finale that I think really and truly,
I know which one you're going to say,
hit on so many levels. It made it worth waiting for, and it's something that you will talk about for years after, 6 Feet Under.
Yes, that was a
great finale. I could still cry thinking about, and it was just, it gave such credit to the writers and everybody that worked on that show. It landed on such a high note that it made everything else shine more sparkly.
It gave you the ending.
Yeah.
You know, without saying, okay, I wonder what happened to this one, I wonder what happened to that one. It gave you the ending of everybody's story.
Yeah.
Which was perfect.
Yeah. And Frances Conroy, you know where she's been.
Of course.
She's been on
American Horror Story.
American Horror, yeah. She's somebody who's just like, you see her, it's like, oh my God, she's from that. And she's been around for probably 40 years.
A long time, yeah.
So, but what I wanted to talk about was.
You found it?
Yes. Who doesn't love Deborah Hammond?
Well, did I fill in a lot of space, though?
You did the best you could. Yes, you did love.
Thank you.
I'm asking you, Elise, who doesn't like Deborah Harry?
Oh, I don't know. I guess people that are born now.
Do you think they wouldn't know Blondie?
Yeah, they wouldn't know Blondie.
Really?
Yeah.
Unless
you're into music, you know?
I'm trying to think. I think that the last big hit they had was Maria.
I don't even know that
song. Oh, you know what? You would know it. It's just, I think it's just right back to Blondie's best as a band. They just had, I'm going to play for you later, but
okay.
Blondie's legendary Deborah Harry will be the featured guest where I'm going in 2 weeks of the Jazz Passenger for the GPMP 2019 Gala, Tuesday, February 26th at the Ideal Glass Studio. Now, Elite, they're now following us on Facebook. This place is fantastic.
Is it?
I guess they have different acts and things that go on there. But it's on, I think, East 22nd Street. It's Lower East Side. It's just really, really a cool place. The evening will begin with wine and hors d'oeuvres provided by City Winery, which is just, you're not going to get anything better than that, and culminates with an exciting musical performance by the Jazz Passengers with special guest Deborah Harry. And it's going to have a silent auction, and all these funds.
Is she singing that night? Is she performing?
She really does. And she took a lot of lessons, torch songs. I mean, she always had a great voice, but there were some, you know, you just can't sing in different genres.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, just going in cold unless you're like Amy Winehouse, who just somehow was able to summon and channel all these different people in her head. May her soul rest in peace. But
she's really doing it.
Yeah, I know. It kills me. It really kills me that's the case. But all these funds are to support ongoing projects for GPMP, and we're actually going to have this lady, Zuri Gordon, on, I think, in a couple of weeks to talk about it. It's just wonderful stuff, and you'd appreciate it because these programs provide multimedia experiences for high school students through music, poetry, and performance with jazz professional musicians and filmmakers. So this is all going to be at Ideal Glass Studio, February 26th. Now, there are still tickets available. This is kind of it's limited to the first 100 guests. So you definitely want to go to their website and get some ticket information. Ideal Glass Studio will have all of that on their website, and I'm looking forward to it. It should be nice, and maybe get Deborah Harry to come on the show.
That would be great.
That's
nice. Your job.
You know what? She's been a pioneer. You know, if you want to look at it, I'm sure she'd have something to say about this. Deborah Harry, for anybody who doesn't know what she looks like, kind of Marilyn Monroe, you know.
She's blonde.
That platinum blonde hair, right.
Right.
And they actually came out with T-shirts that said Blondie is a group because everybody thought, now she was the lead singer, but
right.
She always thought that she was part of the group.
Mm-hmm.
She never put herself out in front. She was part of this group. But because of the sexist society we live in, Blondie, they assumed it was her.
Right.
So that should be interesting to talk with her about a couple of things, so I hope we get to. But, yeah, that's going to be for Tuesday, February 26th. So that should be a lot of fun.
Sure.
And, I remember when I was singing, we did One Way or Another. And that was like so
one
out of
One Way or Another.
You know something? Thinking back on it now, my voice was ill-suited for that because she definitely was an alto.
Yeah,
you're higher than
that.
Yeah. So that's why we went into Pat Benatar, which was much more in Ann Wilson, and you know Janis Joplin was always there. But that should be a lot of fun if we could get her to talk about sexism in the music industry.
Which is her career.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, because I mean, you know, the thing is, it's funny how some people don't ever get any credit, you know, and she really laid down some interesting stuff, you know, and I mean, she hit Heart of Glass was more, I would say, disco. I mean, she, Rapture, she went into rap. She really did a good amount. She and the band were flexible enough to go with, try stuff that didn't work and try stuff that did work and land. So that should be.
Listen, not all bands had big gems all the time, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's very hard.
It's very hard.
You know, it's funny. When you look at a group like, I know we say the Beatles, who were just four kids. I mean, kids.
Yeah, I know.
22, when they were writing some of their best, with Lennon McCartney, were writing some of the best things. And they yet were able to churn out hit after hit after hit after hit. To the point that it was almost ridiculous. And you say, how did they do that?
How did that happen?
At that age. Yeah. At that age, 22. And you're
Well, I think they all were talented in their own way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they really, you know, together as a unit, they hit big.
You know, and I think they brought out the best in each other.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I think the little bit of peer pressure between Lennon and McCartney,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of, they hated each other to do it, but it was just like, you know, let me see what he's got, and I got this. And
right.
They were both
super talented.
It just made a world of beautiful music for us.
Yeah.
You know, and I say the same thing about...
Forever and ever, because every generation knows it.
And you know what's funny? I saw many years ago, Paul McCartney's son, he's got a son, James, who is not in the limelight. He plays some guitar. Not extremely well. And then again, going up against Paul McCartney as being your father, it's got to be I don't know how you stand
up
against
him. Or he doesn't care.
Well, now, David Letterman went up after he played and said to him, what are you thinking that you want to do? What are your achievements? And he said, I want to be bigger than the Beatles. And it's like, David Letterman didn't know what to say because, I mean, first of all, how could anyone say that?
Nobody could be it anyway.
And someone that
but he can't. Well, let's think about it.
Look, the monies from the Beatles will keep him and his family.
It's not even that, right? Right.
But how could you possibly even say that he was stone cold sober? He was
son of a Beatle.
But son of a Beatle, yeah. But and David Letterman, for the first time in his career, like didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
Just didn't know what stumped. What do you say to that? Because maybe he's joking. Should I laugh? But how you could say that, being, you know,
a Beatle?
Yeah. Well, he wasn't a Beatle as well.
You know what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying. But I thought that was interesting. And I think that the same thing applies to, Paul Simon. I always think of The Sound of Silence.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote that when he was 23. It's like, how much pain can you have in your, I guess it's stupid to say, how much pain in your heart to inspire that song? Because you got to derive it from something. At 23, I mean, you really haven't really lived at 23. So.
We don't know that.
That's just my take of that. Because I was thinking to myself, what did I do when I was 23? Nothing that big.
No.
Nothing that big. 23, nah. You know, you think you're hot stuff, but you're really not. But what else are we going to say for the roundtable this month? Do we have a topic for that?
No, not yet. We have a couple of weeks for that.
We have week after next, because February's a short month.
Yeah.
And we'll
still 2 more weeks.
And, you know, we would bring on different people.
Yeah.
Confused. Yeah, I told you there was one person that I thought come on for health.
Looking forward to it.
We'll have Tammy Lee on again.
Yeah.
And that should be good. And she's you know, I was thinking about actually having Gilad on again, but I don't know if it would make sense to the show. He's a friend of the show.
Is this something to talk on the radio about?
No, I'm thinking out loud. We have no secrets from our audience.
No, not at all.
No secrets from our audience. And we're showing that we had some pretty cool...
For sure. We had more than that.
Yeah. And he ran up the flight of steps to be with us.
Yeah,
remember that?
Subway.
And you were juggling plates. You were...
Filling the airtime, right?
And
filling
then my clients.
Oh, God. Here we go.
This was the make fun of elite time. The best. Well, you know what? People don't realize... How hard it is to feel.
42 minutes in.
No. But how hard it is to fill space.
Of course, definitely.
It's not, you know, I remember any time, like, you know, if you have, like, a certain amount of time to speak, if you're giving a speech or something, and they say, okay, you have 15 minutes, and you think, oh, that's easy.
Right.
No.
And then when I'm put on the spot, it's even worse.
You were fine that day.
Was it? I don't even
remember.
Yeah,
you were talking about, well, it was a January show. So you were talking about, I think you were talking about the fitness resolutions that everybody has. Because like, we're like maybe a week into January, and you were talking about where they
go. I'm sure it wasn't positive, like that positive about fitness resolutions, because nobody sticks to them.
Well, that's what it was.
Oh,
but I mean, think about this.
It wasn't something like that. It was something different.
I thought it was that.
No, I don't remember. If we can't remember last year, you want us to remember like 3 years
that
ago?
That was three years ago.
Yeah,
that was the one. That was the old format.
Yeah.
That was our old format.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's, yeah. So that's,
was it? Yeah, that's right.
You know why? Because even if it was 2017, we didn't switch over
until March.
Right.
So that was still
the old format.
Well, next month is Women's History Month.
Yep.
And so we're going to be coming up with a lot of stuff like that.
We're going to have a lot of I think, live events. And what? What? What are you laughing at? What?
We'll have a lot of live events.
Why not?
We'll try to have a lot of live events.
We could.
Oh, we could. Yeah, we could.
Yeah.
Let's get us an audience, you know?
Well, that's...
We can't drag these people because it's... It's warm in here. We're going to have to take them outside.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that.
Well, you know what? Any live event that we do, we have a built-in audience. When we did the Women's March.
That's true.
You know, that's the thing. It's a guaranteed bottom. So that's easy enough. But it's true. It's true, and you're just laughing.
It's true.
Well, that's our show for this week. That's it, because I'm not going to... No. Because I'm not going to, if you're just going to laugh, that's too much.
No.
That's too much. much. But
no, but yes, you know, there's a lot to look forward to next month. You know, a lot of topics to bring up, a lot of things to discuss, you know.
Absolutely.
So, and it's a nice long month. We'll get like 4 weeks out of it.
I love March for that reason. February is kind of like hit and run, but March is.
The only thing I'm afraid of is the weather.
Well, let's see. Look, what we did our show once. We did it
via phone.
And I didn't like it because I'd much rather have you in front of me, but we did, and we had a double guest show that day.
Yeah, we did very well.
We had like 19 inches on the ground. There was nowhere to go.
But it was bad.
The sound quality was good.
It's funny because all my Facebook memories, every year was a big snowstorm at this time.
I know.
And that was like,
I know.
I had all these pictures of snow banks and stuff like that. It was, like, so weird.
Well, listen, we're not supposed to get a snowy week winter.
No.
We'll get something. I mean, we have to, but...
Like yesterday. No. I'll take that.
Yeah, yesterday was, a little slushy.
It's a hit and run.
We only got maybe an inch, if that.
Yeah, if that.
And it just got messy. As it does. You know what's so funny? Because I left the house... And I was like, oh, we dodged this. This is great. Because it didn't smell like snow.
Well, I told you when we were talking that it got delayed because
of
the dry air.
That's it. And then when I got...
It said, air, you cannot come here.
And I walked up the steps, and I was facing Carnegie Hall, and I couldn't even see.
It was coming down that hard.
It was like, people who are underground like me walking up like, what happened? Because it all happened within an hour.
That would have been a perfect picture.
Well, honey, I'm sorry I couldn't take one.
Nah.
You know what I'm saying?
Perfect picture.
Well, there's
right
nothing
there.
Like, I always say there's nothing like Manhattan in a
snowstorm.
Oh, there's nothing like it.
I just love the people in it because you can see they're trying to rush to where they need to get, you know?
And yesterday you really couldn't because it got so slippery.
Yeah.
Two people took nosedives in front of me.
I'm sure.
So it was not safe. People did not shovel as quickly as I thought they would. And so that's it.
Yeah.
I want to thank my lovely co-host.
Oh, thank you.
For riding shotgun again. The studio audience, the home audience, thank you very much for always being here. Yep. Give yourself a nice round of applause.
They're great.
Go out. Make it a good day. Make it a productive day. Do something kind to somebody and give something back to the planet. We'll see you next week. Nina, take us home.
Here we go. Bye-bye.